The dork you grew up with on radio for 40 years is now in a tidy digital place. Doc on Demand, where you pick the topics, then you be on the dang podcast. Live now in the Eagle app.
It is episode 6 of yours truly on demand. I've been waiting for this one forever. Long time, buddy. And actually, if you put up with me on the radio for any length of time, you can more or less blame this guy. Rich Kane, how are you, sir?
I'm fine, Jeffington. How are you?
So I want to talk about our personal time together during the 99Q days, but let's talk Richard Kane. Obviously, you currently could we call you Quincy's weatherman? Is that too big of a title?
I share that platform with Brian, and so yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, Brian's a good guy too.
Yes, he is.
So, but I'm curious about going back to the beginning. I first met you in 1987. How long before that had you been in radio?
2 years.
Okay.
2+ years. My first job was in Moberly, Missouri, and I was a programmer. And you weren't an on-air personality per se, but you basically had to do what you were told to do. And
yeah.
Then some.
Yeah.
So I had done news. I did weather. I was a Doppler radar operator because they had a Doppler radar installation at the
wow.
time.
Wow.
They liked me. They made it worth my while to stay those 2.5 years. But then I felt I hit kind of a brick wall. It's like I could be doing more.
Yeah.
And so that's when I came to Quincy.
So to explain, well, first of all, what made you decide, like, what made you decide radio was something you wanted to do?
Well, long story short, yeah. My father was attending Ohio State University.
Okay.
He loved classical music. So when he was a student, he was asked to do a half-hour show introducing listeners to new classical music. So that's what he did for a while. And his news guy was a guy by the name of Jack Buck.
Oh, no kidding.
Yes, because Jack wow. was a journalism major. My father was a history major, but because of his musical knowledge at that age, he was asked to do his show. My mother was a librarian. And we're introduced by the secretary to the station manager, and now you know the rest is history.
Right. So you joined 99Q, what was it, 87?
It was June of 1987. I had to replace David P. Norman, who had left, and I was offered the job actually in late April after meeting with David Wellborn, who made the offer to me, and it was like significantly more than what I was earning in Moberly.
Sure.
So I accepted and then moved to Quincy in early June.
Okay. And it was that same month that a punk redheaded kid walks in. You and I had a mutual friend. And so without boring people with my history, I started in 83. I was on KGRC when I was in high school. I was a junior at Hannibal High School. And went out west for a while and came back. And you and I had a mutual friend. And she said that... hey, I know a guy that just got hired at 99Q. Are you interested in talking to him? And I didn't consider, you know, at that time, if, you know, 99Q, when it went on the air in 1985, was almost immediately the number one station in the market.
It was big.
And there are still to this day, there are people that that reminisce about those days. So I didn't consider myself worthy. I still don't consider myself worthy. But I had the chance to talk to you. So what do you remember about that time when we first met?
It was the audition tape, Jeff. It was so tightly produced. It was so, I'm like, lively. And it's like, we've got to hire this guy.
I think I recorded somebody else and sent it to Rich.
He's like the perfect person to replace an empty spot.
Yeah.
Because I think at that time, Greg Hawbrick had left. He went to Terre Haute for an album-oriented rock station. Okay, play U2. That's okay.
right.
But yeah, I was just most impressed with the young redheaded gentleman, and then Rick Astley came along, and so was the battle of the redheads.
I was the original Rick Roll. No, what's funny, to full disclosure, I during that time I would spend hours in production studios working on the tape. And the scary thing is what I would produce, I couldn't replicate. I was like, when it actually came to doing a live show, I couldn't even come close. And so I remember when I first met you, and this is one of the things I think most people aren't aware of. Rich Kane is the originator of Doc. Because up until that time, I was born Jeff Holiday, But the holiday's a real thing. We've come to find out my wife did the ancestry thing. We are distantly connected to the real gunfighter. It's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
But up until then, I had just been my regular name. So I grew up here. And I'll never forget, you know, we at that time, we had Jeff Dorsey, we had Jeff Johnson. And so when you kindly put your trust in me to be the guy on afternoons on 99Q, and I remember you said, you can't be Jeff. We've already got enough Jeffs.
Yes.
So I'm like, well, you can't call me Roy.
We had Jeff Myers. We had Jeff Dorsey. Jeff Holiday? No, yeah. That's not going to work.
Yeah. And so you, just like what had you been thinking about it, or what made you say that this doc is going to be a good idea?
It was just off the top of my head. And it's like I thought it fit.
Yeah. Well, I remember saying to Rich that, you know, that sounds cool. But I don't think I'm cool enough to be a gunfighter. I don't think I'm cool enough to be a gunfighter. But it came to the point where it's like, you know, okay, sure, this, we'll have some fun with this. And what was funny is years later, my parents eventually started calling me Doc because I became so associated with that nickname. And I still to this day I'm not worthy of it. But that was so much fun. So Rich Kane deserves a medal because he put up with me. Let's see, when I joined 99Q, I was 21 years old.
Yeah, you were young.
I was young. And that was the first time, I think all of us that have done broadcasts go through this at some point. If you've done this for any length of time, there's one certain time where people start recognizing you. Like you'll be walking down the street, you'll be in the store, you know, in the grocery store buying ketchup. Mm-hmm. Somebody will walk up and say, "Oh, you're Rich Kane or you're Doc," and it takes a bit before, you know, you almost go through this like superstar, you know, like wow, I'm kind of famous. And so Rich got to put up with me during that era. In fact, I had a license plate, a Missouri license plate, 99Q-Doc.
Oh, yes,
a personalized
plate.
Remember that? So anyway, Rich, I owe so much to this man because I look back now. I've been doing this. This is my 40th year.
Congratulations.
And, if Rich, you're responsible, man. So there are like four key people in my life that believed in me at a certain point in time that were key. There's a guy I worked with out west named Dan Kelly, who's a great, great special dude. I worked with a guy in California who used to work with Howard Stern, Mark Steven, who is a brilliant guy. Mm. But it was, and then Ed Clay, of course, at KGRC when I was in high school. But it was Rich Kane that actually put faith in a punk redheaded kid that led to all this. So I owe you so much, brother.
No problem. Hey, Jeff, you are entirely welcome because it was well deserved. And it still is.
We still have so much fun. So I want to talk about TV, Rich, because you and I both, we've been on like, maybe we are brothers from a different mother because we both joined 99Q in 87. By 89, there was a new corporation that kind of took over, well, not new because they were in charge, but there were new people from out east that took over 99Q. I don't know if I want to say his last name, but Paul was the market president and a unique individual. He was an intense East Coast guy. I'll never forget, I changed the thermostat in the 99Q studios, and that was a no-no. You remember that?
Yes, that was a no-no. There was a box on top of the thermostat. Wasn't there a box on top of the thermostat?
There was after I changed. I got caused for busting it.
Before you got a hold of it.
So,
and then Paul Halsoppel realized, oop, I said his last name.
Yeah, whoopsie-daisy.
We still love you, Paul.
Yeah.
But this is a story where he ripped the thermostat off the wall and cut himself deeply.
And I was actually on the air when it happened. And the thermostat was in the 99Q studio, and I remember he was bleeding, and I got blamed for it. I was responsible for bloodshed.
I got blamed for a lot of things.
Yeah, and so anyway, you and I both kind of came to a place in 89 where we decided we needed to go do something else somewhere else. And so you eventually became TV Rich.
Eventually, but it was through time and accomplishments. Because I was hired cross town as an afternoon AM talk show host.
I remember that.
All right. So then a couple years later, I was shifted to morning show producer slash talent working with the one and only Jeff Dorsey.
Yeah.
After that, then they needed somebody to do the morning show weather fill-in. So I did that. And eventually, the progression, the interest, I had the skills to do the job, so they basically hoisted me into TV exclusively, and that's how it ended up.
Yeah, there, you know what? WGEM over the years has had some legendary people. Bill Wegman, I grew up with my parents listening to him and Bob Turek.
Oh, Silly and Billy.
Yeah. Ralph Bristol, who was on the TV side and also did some radio stuff, worked with him for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Some obviously a legendary organization. But what caused you when the opportunity came? What transformed Radio Rich into TV Rich?
I think it was working with the morning crew on TV back. That happened back in 1987, and then progressively through the years, I was asked by the general manager at the time, Leo Henning. He said, "Rich, you remember that idea you brought up in the mid-90s? I said, "Yeah." He said, "We'd like for you to go back to school. Here's the deal." "Okay, I accept it. Mississippi State, Starkville, here I come." And after 3 years, I got my certificate, and the rest is history.
And a meteorologist.
In meteorology.
So back, and looking back, with that Doppler radar in Moberly, you had control
of the legendary Doppler radar.
So it all comes full circle.
It does. And, you know, we were trained by National Weather Service staff in Moberly to utilize that Doppler radar. And we became legend back in the mid-80s because we were the only station that did it.
Yeah.
How do you have a Doppler radar on radio and tell people what's going on? Well, we figured it out. And
yeah,
we made a lot of money on it.
You had to paint word pictures, right?
Yeah.
You had to paint word pictures.
Basically, we had a big write-on wipe-off board with China marker, a huge 12-foot wall that had a map layout with range rings and then a China marker on a string, and that's how we did it.
So anybody that's seen Steve Carell in Anchorman has laughed at the green screen weather experience. So you obviously have perfected that.
Right.
So what, now that there's all this new digital technology with, and I follow you and Tegan on Facebook and on the socials and stuff, and you guys do a great job of doing the Facebook Lives and that sort of stuff. I mean, how has that changed over the years with how you do what you do?
Well, it was it was really interesting when I went to where I am now, KHQA. They said, "Well, you got to make 3 social media posts a day, and then when there's this thing, Facebook Live." And I'm like, "This is all very alien to me because previously, really, digital and social media was kind of a backseat, if you will. First it airs, then it gets posted on digital. Well, now that's completely changed.
Yeah, flip flops.
You've got to break out of that dichotomy and think forward."
Yeah.
And it's like every time a tornado warning comes out, severe thunderstorm warning, it first goes out on digital media. Then we have the website push, and then you go to air. So air takes, I hate to say, a backseat priority.
Yeah, Rich and I have talked amongst ourselves because we are the old school guys, and it's hard to realize that people, you know, and this is what I've learned. You may think you know the best thing for the audience. The audience will tell you how they want their content, and it's the same on radio.
Yes.
I will normally drop weird things I find on our app and on Facebook, and then shoot out app alerts, and then see if the audience interacts with it, and that actually is how I decide what goes on the radio
show.
What
works and what doesn't.
Yeah, in other words, did they like this? Nope. Okay, let's try something else. And I don't know if most radio listeners understand this, but at least in my case, they do call the shots. I've had things that have just been, I remember there was a weird thing. I found some Illinois deer licking a cat, and I thought it was stupid, but I thought it was funny. So I drop it in the app. Man, we had like hundreds of thousands of people that checked out this deer and this cat. I'm like, okay, people call the shots.
Or you were telling me the story about the cow up in a tree.
Yeah. So back in the 90s, when I was on Kick, back in those days, we had so many phone calls. People used the phone. That was when the internet was still a new, very much a new thing. And I had a listener call me and say, hey, I'm driving down 19, you know, near center, and there's a cow in a tree. And so we had listeners, we had a phone patrol, a phone posse, if you will, go down and investigate this cow. Now, it, you know, it's phone cameras and it's that, and, you know, it's just, it's such a different world, but it's still, at the end of the day, it's still engagement with the audience.
Right.
So what's, I'm curious what Rich Kane 2022, what's the future for Rich? What, you have anything left to do that you haven't already done?
Oh yeah. It's called retirement.
So is that in sight? I mean, are you going to...
Not immediately, but I'm now a granddad, and that's hard for me to swallow, because you and me talking, even before we started the podcast, we were reminiscing, and it's like,
yeah,
wow, that seems like yesterday.
Yeah, sure does.
Well, fast forward, reality check, I'm past 60, and I found that I can't do things as fast and as efficient as I used to. So it's like, am I knocking on the door to start to slow down a little bit? Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah. Well, you've definitely deserve whatever you decide to do, man. It's no matter how long you keep doing this, you're obviously going to be. You know, we were talking about some of the great tri-state, you know, legends of media: Dennis Oliver, Jeff Dorsey, Bill Wegman, Bob Turek. The list is long. Liz Lukowski, Bob Joy. Yeah,
yeah.
There are so many great people, and you're definitely going to be considered one of those great personalities. Corey McCloskey, I miss Corey. Corey was so fun. He's in Phoenix now.
Yeah, and he's still doing a great job. And I was reminiscing also the great Paul Thomas.
Yeah, yeah, PT. Absolutely. Yeah, Paul. Paul during the Y101 days. There's just there's so many people, but you know, it's still. And I think you and I maybe have. I don't want to necessarily group you in with me, but I've reached the point in my life where I stopped caring what people think. So I'm having more fun now than I probably had even 30 or 40 years ago.
Well, I still care what people think, especially when they respond to something on Facebook or a post on Twitter or, you know, something like that. No, I'm not really doing TikTok. I leave that to the lady anchors.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I still care. I may not care as much as I used to, but I still care.
Yeah. Well, I care about what we do. I think my thing is I used to get my feelings hurt. You and I have, back in those days, there's phone calls, but I had somebody that called the radio station. They didn't like the way I laughed. And I bet I spent two
really?
Weeks.
Yeah, somebody made an effort to call and say,
they did.
I don't like your laugh.
Yeah, they don't like, and I dwelled on that for a couple of weeks. And now that would be so funny to me. I don't even care. But no, you know, what I do care about is people like Rich, and you've been a great friend over the years and an absolutely vital. I know for a fact that I would not be doing this right now if it were not for you, sir. So,
oh, gee, thank you.
So truly, truly one of those mentors. who tried to tame me during the 99Q days, and still such a great media personality these days. So what's the best way to keep track of Rich Kane? Is it the Facebook monster, or what's the deal with?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I don't post a lot like other people do, but if it's important to me, that's when I start to share.
Yeah, well, I would imagine most of the people within the sound of our voice are already following you, but we'll make sure we hook everybody up with all your links and stuff.
There, I have a business page, then I have my personal page, and a lot of people get me confused on my personal page. It's like, how come you don't post weather? You're on the wrong page.
Yeah, right. We'll make sure to direct them to Weather Rich and TV Rich.
Twitter, yeah, I got the blue check mark for Twitter. And I
thanks,
do that.
Elon.
Yeah. I'm going to have to start paying now. And that's where I do a lot of weather stuff, along with other things that I think are important to people.
Yeah. So. Well, I appreciate your time, Rich. Thank you for the conversation, as
always.
You're
welcome, Jeff. And you want to talk about Lita Ford?
Oh, you know what? That's actually, I'm glad you brought up Lita Ford. One more story. So, we were talking about Jack Manis, who's been one of the, I'm not sure if he's still doing it, but he was one of the great concert promoters in the tri-state area for decades at least.
Years.
So the story goes, Lita Ford in 1988, right after Kiss Me Deadly came out, she and Lillian Axe were coming to the casino to play a show. And it was, I think, maybe February. I think February of 88.
It was
maybe.
During the cold days.
It was winter.
The Riverfront in Hannibal wasn't open.
Yeah. So, Young Punk, Doc, A lot of times I would fail to ask permission before I would do things. Now I've actually learned, you know, maybe you should, you know, go through the proper channels. Back in those days, I reached out to Jack Manis and I'm like, hey, I love Lita Ford and Lillian Axe. Can you just send them up to the 99Q studios? And Jack, of course, being Jack, well, sure.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember what I told you, but back in those days, we were in the WCU building.
10th floor.
And Lita Ford and her bass player come up the elevator, march into the studios, wearing denim and leather.
It was incredible, and I'm a nervous kid because we had no digital delay or any kind of delay
completely
whatsoever.
Live, right?
And it was live.
Yeah.
And I'm like, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't. And
yeah.
My boss downstairs on the sixth floor, he's rolling in his chair. It's like, come on.
Yes, yes.
So if a word, one of those seven words was going to be uttered, we'd have to report it to the FCC.
And probably get fined. And
If you voluntarily report, I think that's a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
But I'm pacing the hallway listening to your interview with Lita, and it's like, please don't, please don't, please,
please don't,
please don't.
So I'll never forget, and they fortunately did not let fly any bad words.
No, but except the word ass.
She
said, I want to see, you asked for final words.
Yes.
And she said, I want to see everybody's ass at the concert.
Nice. Well, do you remember the thing that I asked Lita, I said, how do you stay in such great shape on the road? Which was the wrong question to ask. So Lita said, she looked at her bass player and she laughed and she said, I do push-ups in the back of the bus.
It was all right.
I'm the naive guy and I didn't know what she's talking about. And so I can only imagine, knowing what I know now, what that hallway pacing must have been like for Rich.
That was an afternoon that I will never forget.
Well, do you remember in that interview happened, we were moving studios.
Yes, we were moving to our new fourth floor location. So the main studio was kind of ripped up, and you did it from the production room.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I refused to not have Lita on the radio. and so it was kind of a weird thing. That's good times. I forgot about that.
Those were. Wasn't she billed also with Yngwie Malmsteen?
She came to Hannibal a few months later in the Hannibal Riverfront.
Okay,
and I was back. We were, of course, 99Q was the presenting station at almost every show back
Thank
in the
you,
Hannibal.
Pete Weiss, Jay Goldberg, and Mad Dog.
Yeah, we were the presenting station, so we had the van backstage, and I'll never forget. I saw Lita walking down by the river. Wearing shades, and she was mad. Oh, uh-oh. She was huffing. She was stomping around. Come to find out, Yngwie Malmsteen, who some people say has a somewhat large ego. He was actually nice to me. But he apparently didn't give Lita a sound check, or as long of a sound check as she wanted. And so she had to more or less go on stage without hardly any preparation, and she was ticked.
Oh, yeah, so. You don't want to get her ticked off.
Yeah, by that time, she was a major, Kiss Me Deadly was a massive hit.
And that was before she and Ozzy came out with their song.
Yep. So such good times. Well, Rich Kane, I appreciate you, brother. Wish you well. Congratulations on all the family stuff. I remember now seeing the pics of you and your being the granddad and stuff. So happy for you, man.
Thank you, Jeff. And I really appreciate all the compliments that you've splattered out here in the last, 45 minutes or so?
it's all true. The Rich Kane, the originator of Doc, he's the man.
Well, and I appreciate you asking me to do this. And anytime in the future, if you want to get together again, just let me know and I'll do it.
Blank check, man, anytime.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Doc on Demand. No rules. No rails. No kidding. Now, in the 100.9 Eagle app, you've been warned.